This is In the News for February 22, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from the New Standard at newstandardnews.net, written by Michelle Chen. White House poised to cut food aid for seniors and moms. Dave Stogsdill's life has turned up a few surprises in the recent years. The last big one was his knees giving out, forcing him to retire on Social Security disability income. These days, the 61-year-old former electrician looks forward to the occasional pleasant surprise in his monthly supplemental food package from the federal government, which periodically serves up his favorites, canned beef and canned tomatoes. This year, the government may have another surprise in store for Stogsdill. Tucked into the Bush administration's 2007 budget plan is a proposal to eliminate the program that helps him and about half a million other Americans get enough to eat. Deemed redundant by the White House Office of Management and Budget, or OMB, the Department of Agriculture's food program may be scrapped because it supposedly overlaps with larger, parallel programs like food stamps. But supporters of the Community Supplemental Food Program argue that countless low-income participants rely on it for crucial aid they cannot obtain anywhere else. Despite the White House's claims, Stogsdill sees little redundancy in the resources he cobbles together to make ends meet. He cannot receive food stamps because his subsidized income has rendered him ineligible. As he and his wife struggle to stretch a monthly income of about $1,300 across health care expenses, bills, and mortgage payments on their home in Greeley, Colorado, he finds that his monthly food package, worth roughly $50 in retail value, goes a long way. Stogsdill said, quote, "It's really nice to have. Without it, we'd probably have to sacrifice something if we wanted to eat," end quote. On average, according to the Department of Agriculture, the CSFP served more than 500,000 people per month in 2005, including over 450,000 people over 60, and thousands of women and children not covered by other nutrition assistance. Based on canned and processed products mass purchased from the farming industry, the program is not nutritionally complete, but rather is intended to sustain households that might otherwise go hungry. Operating in 32 states, the District of Columbia, and two Indian reservations, CSFP is smaller than the food stamps program, yet it still provides about 6.4 million food packages annually to low-income people, costing the government about $110 million, or less than $20 per package at bulk purchase prices. There's more on this at thenewstandardnews.net. Again, that's written by Michelle Chen. Next up, also taken from New Standard News, but written for the LA Times by Marla Cohn, dated February 20th, fumigant could pose health risk. 14 years ago, as chemicals gobbled up the Earth's ozone layer, an international treaty ordered a phase-out of a popular pesticide for strawberries and other high-value crops. Now, U.S. officials are poised to replace it with a new pesticide, one that is highly toxic and has been declared a cancer-causing chemical by the state of California. The Environmental Protection Agency is expected to approve a new fumigant, methyl iodide, as it eliminates methyl bromide, which damages the ozone layer. With few options for killing diseases and insects in soil, the EPA is faced with a decision that could exchange one toxic hazard for another. California, particularly Ventura and Santa Cruz counties, and Florida have the most at stake. California is the leading producer of strawberries, valued at more than $1 billion a year, and strawberry growers alone could use 3 million pounds of methyl iodide annually to replace methyl bromide. Fumigants, used to sterilize soil before planting, are considered particularly risky among the hundreds of agricultural pesticides in use today. Because methyl iodide is a gas, it can evaporate from soil and drift into nearby areas. Last month, based on tests in California and Florida fields, EPA toxicologists concluded that unprotected farm workers could breathe harmful doses and that low concentrations could drift off fields. But they also determined that the workers would be safe if they wore respirators and that people near the fields would breathe such small amounts that they would face no known health risk. Also, no residue remains in the strawberries or other crops. The EPA will accept public comments on methyl iodide through Tuesday, with a decision expected possibly as soon as next month. If the chemical does clear the federal hurdle, it still faces a tougher challenge in Sacramento. The State Department of Pesticide Regulation is conducting its own review of methyl iodide to determine whether it is safe. Imposing the nation's strictest standards on pesticides, the state agency has in the past rejected some EPA-approved chemicals and often imposes tighter safety controls. Glenn Brank, a spokesman for the state pesticide agency, said, quote, "It doesn't matter what EPA says, it has to pass muster in California. The registration decision by U.S. EPA will have no bearing on our process, end quote. Methyl iodine is highly toxic, Brandt said, and there are, quote, a number of areas of concern, reproductive and developmental toxicity, as well as carcinogenicity, end quote. On the other hand, although fumigants clearly are problematic, they also are essential given the lack of alternative soil treatments at present. For 4 years, the EPA has been considering a request from pesticide company Arista Life Science to register methyl iodide, also known as iodomethane, as a soil fumigant under the commercial name Midas. If approved, it would be injected into soil, mostly in strawberry fields, but also on fields growing tomatoes, peppers, ornamentals, grapes, and several other crops at a rate of about 175 pounds per acre. Methylbromide was the pesticide of choice for these crops until recently. In 1987, the United States and other developed nations signed the Montreal Protocol, which gradually banned a variety of chemicals destroying the ozone layer that blocks the sun's harmful radiation. Methylbromide was added to the pact in 1992. Since then, use of methylbromide has dropped dramatically. All use was supposed to end last year, but the United Nations granted critical use exemptions, amounting to about 15 million pounds in the United States this year, or 27% of the amount used in 1991. Florida uses almost half, with California ranking second. There's more on this issue at the LA Times, but you can get it through newsstandardnews.net. Again, that's written by Marla Cohn, Time staff writer. And finally today, from the new issue of High Country News at hcn.org, written by Brett Wilkerson from their hotline section in their magazine, downwinders say fallout study numbers don't add up. Almost all of the 140 million Americans alive during the nuclear bomb tests of the 1950s were exposed in some degree to radioactive fallout. 30 million have died or are expected to die of cancer. Yet only a tiny fraction of those cases, no more than 16,000, can be attributed to nuclear fallout, say three researchers from the National Cancer Institute in a study published in January. The estimate is low, say some fallout victims' advocates. They worry that the study lends support to a recommendation that would significantly decrease the number of downwinders covered by a federal compensation program. The study follows a 2005 National Academy of Sciences report that recommended scrapping the geography-based standards of the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. That 1990 law provides payments to downwinders suffering from certain cancers who lived in parts of Nevada, Arizona, and Utah during the tests. The Academy report said radioactive fallout was likely not a, quote, substantial contributing cause of cancer, end quote, and it recommended compensation be based on medical evidence instead of location. Yet it's difficult to prove that fallout exposure caused a given case of cancer, downwinders say, and developing new compensation standards could take years. Tona Henderson, an activist in Emmett, Idaho, who has lost 10 family members to cancers she believes were induced by fallout, said, quote, the government might as well say there's not going to be any more compensation, end quote. While Congress debates how to change the act, Senator Mike Crapo, Republican of Idaho, Senator Larry Craig, Republican of Idaho, and Senator Conrad Burns, Republican of Montana, introduced legislation in December to extend compensation to their states, which have counties that were among the hardest hit by fallout. Downwinders suffering from cancer are running out of time, says Henderson. He said, quote, they should include us in this plan, this compensation plan now, and study us later, end quote. Again, that's written by Brad Wilkerson from hcn.org. That's High Country News. This has been In the News for February 22nd, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOW-LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.